What's up, Dutch Nation? Mark Berry coming at you from DB Studios. This episode, a little different, something special. We had our first ever phone interview with legacy franchisee Kerry Wall up there in Lacey and Tumwater, Washington. And great stuff. I mean, it is obvious she's on the phone, so the sound quality is not great, but not terrible. You'll be able to hear her. Super magnetic person. She's got a great big heart, doing awesome things up there in the community. Just a cool journey. 20-year run with State Farm Insurance, and came to the conclusion that that just wasn't the place for her and took a chance on Dutch Bros. She's killing the game today. Sit back, enjoy the Kerry Wall podcast.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Kerry?
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's working!
Wait, am I like your guinea pig?
You are.
Yeah.
You are the first. This is historic. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, Kerry Wall, we got her not on the red couch, but in the comfort of your own living room, maybe, perhaps?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep, that's where I'm at.
Yes, this is an on-the-phone interview. I've never done one. Shane, the intern, Tappan's with me. He's never done one.
Hi, Kerry.
Hey, Shane. What up, bro? Chacho.
How's it going?
Going amazing. I'm just stoked
you can hear us because we've been working hard on trying to figure this out.
It was not working, and I had to jimmy rig some stuff, and finally here we are.
Love it.
Yes.
Look at you guys.
Yeah, we're evolving with the times. You know, it's a yeah. Rotary phone that you dial.
No way.
No.
Okay.
No, like, not at all.
Dude, what?
I'm actually calling you through Google. Trip on that.
That is way too savvy for me. Can't handle it.
I'm proud of myself, and very rarely that. I'm usually very apologetic to people for messing things up.
Oh, no.
Kerry Wall, let's dive into it. What do you do at Dutch Bros Coffee, for those who don't know?
I am a legacy franchisee for Thurston County. So right now I've got 3 locations, 2 in Lacey and 1 in Tumwater.
Washington State, for the non-geography wizards out there.
Yes, the beautiful evergreen state of Washington.
I always thought they were like the apple state, because I know they produce a lot of apples.
Yes, this is accurate too.
Okay, yeah, now, yeah. Sorry, we're going off the rails here.
I was like,
that wasn't one of the pre-approved questions. So, cool, legacy. I have to say, too, does it sound cool when you say that, legacy franchise owner? It sounds cool to me.
I guess maybe, but it also sounds like, I don't know, maybe bougie or something? I don't really know, but...
You've been around a little longer, you know? You've got some clout.
I've been around, Mark.
Well, you know...
You said it.
No, you're married with children, you know.
I am very, very married.
Yes.
How is the
to
fam?
Dawn. How is Dawn?
Dawn is great. He's outside mowing the lawn.
So when did you actually discover Dutch Bros then?
You know, that's such a great question. I feel like I first really got to know Dutch Bros through Dawn in Portland when he was still courting me. When he was a young buck. Our really good friend Ryan Hawkins was just opening up. We used to, you know, go roll out there and say hi to them and just hear all the crazy stories about them working in the shop. And, you know, back in the day, not a lot of people knew what their shows was. So, like, they would go and, you know, do crazy small numbers during the day, but hang out with the, you know, community out the window. And yeah, getting to know him and knowing, you know, where he started from and stuff like that, I thought that was really cool. And so that's really like the first time that I got to know Dutch Bros on a, I guess, more deeper level than, you know, a customer through the window.
What was your drink of choice back then?
Oh man, an ice kicker.
Wasn't
a size, because it was just ice kicker.
Yeah, it was just paper cup and it was always $2. Where were you working at the time, or were you working, or what was going on?
I actually worked for a big corporation called State Farm Insurance.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, I actually worked for them for almost 20 years, which makes me sound super old, so I don't really like to share that part. But to be fair, I started when I was 16.
20 years, you're in P-Town. Allstate, and you like Dutch Bros. So tell us about when it was like, hey, Dawn, let's go try to franchise.
Yeah. So it was State Farm, not Allstate.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
get it right,
sorry.
I think you said Allstate. It's all
Did
good,
I say
though.
Allstate?
Yeah.
They kind of all are very similar. But I have actually a double major from Portland State in marketing and advertising management. And so what I was doing for State Farm at the time was a marketing specialist. Mm. I thought that that's what I wanted to do. You know, that fable where they tell you that after college, you just have to go out and find this amazing job and make tons of money. And then that's how you are happy, right?
Sure. Yeah. That's
yeah. Well, it's not true. Yeah. So I did that. So I went out and, you know, got my big girl job and was working, you know, at this corporation, and I was gonna, you know, stay there forever and ever. And I just was dying inside. And so Dawn and I, we went on this camping trip, huge campers. So we just pile a bunch of stuff on our boat and just go find an island. And one of these times that we went, we were sitting by the fire waiting for our friends to come later on in the week. And I opened up to him and shared, you know, my heart, like, babe, I'm dying. I can't do this forever. And, you know, he had that dream talk with me. He's like, okay, well, if you could do anything, what would you want to do? And I looked at him. I knew that I was going to like throw him for a loop, but I was like, I would love to franchise Dutch Bros. And he looked at me like, you have never told me that before. So we kind of spent the whole weekend talking about it and, you know, giving our whys and what that would look like. Because, you know, at the time, all of Oregon was taken up for franchising, and that's where he and I are from. I'm from Salem. He's from Grants Pass. So, you know, just trying to figure out what that would even look like, because, you know, neither of us had experience with, you know, working for Dutch. So that was kind of wild. But yeah, so that's kind of how that all happened.
Yeah. So then you mobbed down to Grants Pass and talked to like Trav, and how did that all go down?
The real story?
Well, I mean, however much
details,
however much you want to divulge,
it's all good. I can tell you like the real and the true. So it actually kind of circles back to Hawk again. So he was getting married and he had a bachelor party in Bend, and my husband was going to it, and it was like a Dutch Bros bachelor party. There was everybody there and stuff, and Trav was talking to Dawn that weekend, was like, man, I'm having such a hard time getting people to franchise in Washington. Mm. And it was so funny because, you know, a month earlier, Dawn and I were talking and he was like, okay, well, we can't, and, you know, franchise in Oregon, where would you want to? And I said, Lacey Olympia, graduated from high school up here. And I love the area. It's so beautiful. There's so much to offer for, you know, a family. And then a month later, Trav has this conversation with Dawn, and Dawn's like, oh my gosh, my wife and I were just talking about franchising in Washington. And Trav's like, really? And so at the end of the weekend, you know, before they left, you know, Dawn kind of thought Trav forgot about her cover. And then right before, you know, everybody was headed home, Trav's like, hey, call the office and set up an appointment. So he came home and told me this. I'm like, no way. And he goes, yeah. So we called the office and we set up an appointment. And you guys, I thought that it was like, you know, one of those informational interviews where you go in and you just get to know each other.
Yeah.
And they ask questions and I ask questions and, you know, don't ask questions. And so that's kind of how it was. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, Trav turns to Manuel and says, yo, can you go get the dirt to Dutch Bros binder? And I didn't know what that was.
Right.
And it was the franchise binder.
Wow.
Jeez.
Like, no way.
What is going on with my
You're
life
an amazing
right
interview. I mean, we're experiencing it right now, but like, but, wow. It's like, okay, we're ready. We've seen enough. Give her the keys.
She's ready.
But it's so crazy. Bro, why? How wild is that? So.
Well, also too, Dawn was obviously a good interview on this bachelor party. He just didn't realize it. Travis sizing you guys up right away, just like, oh, that's incredible. That's
a great story. I know, it's a very, I mean, like, honestly, I feel like that day my life was made on so many levels.
Yeah. But then I do remember the first time I met you, you were doing in-store training at our Ringette store. You get the franchise agreement. At what point do you come down here and just start like learning drinks and really what Dutch Bros is all about?
So honestly, I think that we signed our agreement in 04 and we didn't open our first shop until 09. So it took us 5 years to find a spot because back in the day, nobody up here knew who Dutch Bros was.
Yeah.
So it was like tooth and nail trying to find a spot. And, you know, it was all us. On us to find a spot. And I didn't know what I was looking for in a location. Yeah. I just, you know, got the stipulations from HQ on basic, great drive-through locations. And we just kind of hit the ground running. So when we got close to opening, you know, like I said, I didn't have any experience. So my husband is from Grants Pass. So I basically went down and lived almost a whole summer. It was like 2 months and took our little kid at the time, because he was like 1.5,
yeah,
and lived with his parents and worked at Ringette and the shopping center.
Yeah.
So KG trained me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you worked with Zach a little bit at Ringette too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Zach Garrett and Sarah Isabel and Rita Pickern.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so fun. One of the best summers ever.
You worked in the insurance game for so long, and then you just did a total 360, and then you hopped in a stand with all these crazy baristas. So can you just talk about, like, just the culture shock, if you had any, like, compared to, like, an office job?
A 180 more than a 360, yeah. Shane.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 180.
360 means you'd be right back
with something. Yeah. Degrees.
Yeah, that's such a great question. The culture is exactly a 180. Not to say that there's nothing bad about State Farm.
Yeah.
I have so many valuable lessons that I learned from that experience. I had some amazing mentors that helped me, you know, amazing women in leadership that I still think about today and the lessons they taught me. But the one thing that it was lacking is exactly what you guys talk about, the culture and what we live every single day is actually who I am as a person. So I think that's why when I go back to the story about, you know, having that conversation with my husband about me dying inside is because I couldn't let it out.
You couldn't be yourself.
I couldn't be myself. Yeah. And so then you go here and, you know, you work the window and you're not obnoxious, but you're loud and you're fun and you're energetic and you're having these meaningful conversations. You still have customers, right, at State Farm that you do at Dutch Bros. It's crazy because you would think that you would be able to get to know your quote unquote policy holders. You should, but you don't, not on the same level as you do with a 2-minute conversation at the window at Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, the window is, it's like powerful. A safe place. Yeah, it's this weird thing. Mm-hmm. People let their guard down, and sometimes it's like really therapeutic or cathartic, and they'll just tell you stuff where you're like, wow, I can't believe that they just trusted me enough to tell me that really personal information there.
Yeah, it just happened today. This girl, we hooked her up with her drink. She had to get a decaf Big Ice Kick because she found out literally an hour ago that she was pregnant and they've been trying for 3.5 years. And she was just beaming, like her energy was radiating through the stand.
Awesome.
And she hadn't even told her family, her parents, told us before anybody else. And we're like, what? That's so awesome. We're family.
Yeah. Well, she's like, they're going to know because I'm getting decaf. I have to tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the good stuff right there. That's kind of
what it
separates it from most other companies. So then you hit the ground running, training with all these hard asses like Kyle and Sarah and Rita and these horrible, mean people that were just whipping you.
Yeah, they're terrible. Terrible people to work from. Wow.
I know, right? Horrible. You end up going to Lacey and just tell us a little bit about that first month. It's like, holy crap, I'm doing this. Did you feel like ready? Did you have some struggles, wins, all that good stuff?
Oh, Mark, did I have some struggles? Okay, so It's baseball season, so I'll use this analogy.
Okay.
So you've never been at bat before, right? So you want to put in some reps. So you go to a batting cage, put yourself in a cage, you get a couple reps. It was the equivalent to that and then sending me out to the majors.
Oh, geez, yeah. We've gotten a little more rigorous in our training methods, for sure.
100%, yeah, and there's a reason for it. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world because, you know, everybody has their own story, and that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I learned so much from it. Pretty much learned what not to do a ton of times. So failure is just the way that you know not to do it next time. There's always a lesson, but I learned that a ton in the beginning. It crashed and burned more times than I'd like to share with you guys today.
That's all right. Respect.
But I think that who I am now is 100% not who I was then. Not only just as a leader, but as a mom and as a wife and a sister and a daughter. So
awesome.
It all in good ways.
You're still working in the shops somewhat, right?
I don't work in the stands a ton. I would say, like, I just worked yesterday and today in the stands, but I don't work a ton. I wish that I could work more, but that's just not the name of the game these days. But I do like to work in the stands whenever possible because I feel like it centers you. It brings you back to the why in all the stuff that I have to do outside of the stand. So
you're a wife and a mother, and then you've got your whole Dutch family. What's the best way that you found where you can not necessarily burn out one or the other?
Well, I don't think that anybody's immune to burnout, and I'm definitely not immune. But I think that as long as you learn what you need and what your family needs. So for me, what I try and do is, you know, from 7 to 9 every night is family time where I kind of put my phone in a drawer and I make sure that my family's getting taken care of. Do I do that 100% of the time? No, I wish I did. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but I really do try. And then on the weekends, we really try and spend Sunday together as a family. We've gone into hiking. We're on the 2-mile hike because we have a 4-year-old. So, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to do a big hike with a 4-year-old.
You know, there's a lot of nature out there to be seen and a lot of life to live. So we just try and live it outside whenever possible. So
nice.
And as far as juggling work and family, the work side of it is I have some pretty amazing leaders that run the stands as if their own. So I think being able to empower your leaders to make those big calls and knowing that I trust them to do that, I think that helps a lot.
At what point did you start to find some of your own crew members that you could start to empower and entrust with some of those big responsibilities and kind of start to delegate a little bit to them?
So if I'm giggling because I'm also kind of a control freak. So
it's hard. Delegating is one of like the hardest things to do.
It really is. And it's something that I've recently really embraced. So, I would say that it wasn't until my second location, and in all honesty, I had both of my managers were like, oh yeah, let's go out to lunch. I'm like, awesome, let's do it. So we go out to lunch, and it was like an intervention with me. They were like, so I know that you like to do the schedule, but we really want to do the schedule, and I know that we can do it. And I'm looking at them like, wow, I am the worst. Yes, you can do the schedule. And I was like, you know, because it's one of those things where like, no, you know, you get the mentality like, well, nobody can do it better, you know, whatever. And then they do it. And you're like, wow, I actually was terrible at the schedule. You are amazing
better,
at it.
Yeah. Would you say that delegating has been the biggest challenge you faced as a franchisee? Or has there been some other things that were just really difficult for you?
I think the biggest struggle that I have as a franchisee is when I see somebody with so much potential that they don't see it in themselves. I think that that is the biggest thing that I struggle with from that aspect. You see it and you want them to win in their personal life and in their professional life, and they don't see it. You're like, ah!
You're seeing a lot of people predominantly at like very transitional moments in their lives too, where they could, they could easily take it one direction or the other.
And totally.
It's hard.
It is a learning time of their life. Because I remember I was just there very recently.
I'm still there. I don't know what I'm doing.
In your 20s is when you're finding yourself for sure. And I'd love to be there for that. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm there right now.
Shane's,
Who
Shane's a ripe 23. He's got
He's got so much.
To learn.
Don't you kind of hate him a little? It's like, God, he's got so much ahead of him still.
But next year, 2019, you'll be 10 years as a franchisee. So within that span of time, what has been some of the like most rewarding things about being a Dutch Bros franchisee?
From a career standpoint, to know that we're always changing, we're always evolving, we're always growing. I'm always going to be a teacher and a learner. From a community standpoint, to know that this is just the beginning and we've got a lot more love to give. And from a family standpoint, that every day that my kids know that what we do and the work that happens in our community matters every single day.
Totally.
How has the city of Lacey, and I guess now Tumwater, how have they embraced Dutch Bros? Like, I know some cities has kind of have fought us on certain things, or have they embraced you guys pretty open-armed?
Open arms, that's I would good. Say, 100%.
That's awesome.
I don't know if you guys know this little fun fact, but we were the like the northern outpost on I-5 for years.
Oh, I didn't
know. So, yeah, when Teal opened up in Everett, that was when we finally had the most northern outpost. So, for so many years, the conversation and the coaching up with our crew was like, we are the pioneers of this brand.
Yeah.
So we are going to do it right. And we are going to serve at 110% every single time.
You're repping a big chunk of the entire state at that point, you know, all the passerbyers and stuff that don't have as many options as they do now.
Exactly. So, and you know, when Tumwater opened, it's just been amazing because we only had the two Lacey locations. And so when we finally opened up in Tumwater, they were, the community is like, it's about time. And,
that's nice.
That's good.
You know, my husband was in law enforcement for so many years, and all their offices are out there. So we see a lot of them all the time, and they're just so proud of us and what we've done here, you know? And so we've got a lot of people rooting for us to, you know, open more and spread the love. And it's pretty, pretty amazing.
Besides Dutch Bros, what else fills your cup? I mean, I can tell just by talking to you that family is like number one in your life.
It is 100% my number one priority. We're really big into sports. Lucas just finished baseball. We just signed him up for Mariners camp this summer. So he's so stoked.
Ah.
Yeah.
How many kiddos do you have?
I'm like, I want to go.
How big is the family? How many kids?
Yeah, we've got three kids, 11, 6, and 4. So the little girl is 6, her name's Luna, and she's in gymnastics.
Oh,
and she's really
that's
found her passion in that. Yep, she practices every day at home. It's so cute to watch her.
Awesome.
And then our 4-year-old, Lane, he is in ninja training.
Wow.
So wrap your head around that one. What is that even? A lot of people are like, ninja training, so like karate. I'm like, no.
No.
Ninja. Centered around American Ninja Warrior. So they teach him like crazy moves.
Oh, yeah. So like parkour type stuff too, right? Like scaling up walls and stuff. That's intense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome.
Yeah. To go back to your question, what fills my cup besides family for me personally, I really love to read. So when I'm not reading self-development books, because I'm kind of a junkie when it comes to that kind of stuff, I love fantasy. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
My kid has me reading the Land of Stories series right now, and it's pretty cool. And then I love to work out.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to say, like, you can definitely overload your brain with self-help and personal growth, and all that stuff's awesome, and it's very important, but, like, you kind of got to give yourself an escape sometimes, too. So a nice fantasy piece of literature is that's just good. It's fun.
Yeah, so we traded series. So he's reading all the Harry Potter series finally. So we can talk about all the differences in the movies because I'm a super geek when it comes to Harry Potter. So
That's why you and Bran have always gotten along so well, huh? Now I see.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not shy. I have a wand. It's cool. Whatever.
Dumbledore. I don't know. I never got into those. But I get made fun of more for not getting into them.
So you just randomly... Dumbledore.
Exactly. I think if I say like Slytherin, then people give me like a look like, guy gets it. This guy gets it.
There's no Slytherin allowed in this house, by the way.
They're the bad guys, huh? Or the bad school or whatever it is. Okay, yeah.
The bad eggs.
I know a little.
We're halfway through 2018, which is insane. What are some things that you're wanting to accomplish by the end of 2018?
The hot seat. Boom.
Well, we're big into goals around here. So we have a remodel coming up at one of our stands. So that's exciting. Okay. And then actually, it's been my goal to finally get surgery.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I tore my ACL again. I think almost 2 years ago. And I've just kind of been battling through it. It's inevitable. It has to happen. Quality of life is a little down because I'm not able to do what I wish. So,
So have you been getting surgery, like the cortisone shots in your knee from time to time? Or
no, I'm not that hardcore.
Plus, well, you like, just play through the pain,
kind of
it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm kind of a hippie. I'm from, we live in Olympia, so that just doesn't sound legit.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Stay away. Do the natural stuff. Well, I do know my mother included, as with a few other people. I know people that have had the reconstructive knee surgery and are super glad they did it. It's kind of a beast, the initial recover time, but get that knee fixed.
Yeah.
Long term, it'll be good.
This is actually my second torn ACL. So right now, it's just finding somebody that's actually going to fix it for me and fix it right. So.
Was it like skiing or snowboarding or?
Yeah, the first one was wakeboarding.
And then
the second one was playing volleyball. So.
Oh wow, volleyball! Was it sand volleyball?
No, nope, indoor.
Oh, that makes sense.
Took a spike to the knee.
Yeah, Jim knows a little something about that.
Yeah, no, I tore my cartilage in my left knee, and I had to get surgery twice to remove it all.
Oh my gosh, that sounds fun.
Sounds like a party.
We'll wrap it up here, Carrie. I know you're busy and potentially going in for surgery soon, so we always like to wrap it up, just a word of encouragement for some of our younger up-and-coming broistas. Like, if there was one little piece of advice you could give to them, they're maybe early 20s and trying to figure out the next step in their life, whether it be pursuing climbing up the ranks in Dutch Bros or trying something else. What's a good piece of advice from Carrie Wall?
I would say if Dutch Bros is the career path that you envision, if that's what you're truly passionate about in your heart, never stop. Never let naysayers into your heart and into your mind. But every single day that you are in the shop is an interview.
Yeah.
And as long as whatever you're doing for the customer, then you can never go wrong.
Awesome.
And if your passion is outside of Dutch Bros, then go and live it, go and do it and use your time here to show love to your community and the people around you while figuring out what your passion is in life.
Perfect. Awesome. Great.
Perfect.
Great words. Great words. Well, thank you, Carrie. We appreciate it. Dutch Nation, it's an interview every day if you want to go deep. And those are great words to live by. And also, if you find yourself going up I-5 and Lacey, Washington or Tumwater pops
up. Quick.
Take an
stop.
Exit. Go get a coffee. Say hey to Carrie and the crew.
We'd love to have you. Come see us.
But thanks again, Carrie. I really appreciate you giving us some time and being part of podcast history. The
Woo!
First ever phone call recorded.
Thank you.
I feel so privileged you picked me. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Honored, humbled.
It would have been cool have you on the red couch, but I'm looking at it right now and it says hello.
Well, I'm sitting on a brown couch. Does that
count? Perfect. There's a couch involved. That's all that matters.
Yes. Awesome. Love it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Carrie. Love you, Dutch Nation.
Peace
out.
Love you.